after being instructed by Brahma in this way, how did he preach? To whom all did he preach? And then he says that, please speak about these subject matters in such a way that I can fix my mind in Krishna. Then he mentions that hearing Krishna Katha is so potent. Shrinvata Shraddaya Nityam Granatascha Svacheshtitam Kalena Nati Dirgena Bhagavan Vishate Hridi. When one hears with faith and chants the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, very soon the Supreme Lord enters within his heart. And he enters through the ear holes, Pravishta Karna Randrena, Swanam Bhava Saroruham, Dhunoti Shamalam Krishna Salilasya Tasharat. How he enters the heart and cleanses the heart. And such a person whose heart has thus been cleansed, Dhautatma Purushah Krishna Padamulam Namunchati Mukta Sarva Pariklesha Pantaha Swasharanam Yata. So he says that Dautatma Purushah Krishna Padamulam Namunchati Mukta Sarva Pariklesha Pantaha Swasharanam Yata. So he says that a person whose heart has thus been cleansed never ever gives up the lotus feet of Krishna. Just like a traveler after having a very difficult travel decides, I will never ever travel out, I will, whatever I want to do, I will do it locally, like that he decides. And Prabhupada, we discussed in detail Prabhupada's explanation, wherever there is a sense of belonging, a sense of family tie, then persons get the inspiration to tolerate any kind of distress. Both a sense of belonging and a sense of non-negotiable responsibility, because the sense of belonging will help them feel the personal bond, and the sense of responsibility will make them feel that I am useful to the mission. Many times people feel confused because they feel, does the mission need me or not? Because when they feel that, you know, I am not contributing to the mission, it becomes a very difficult feeling to undergo like that. Correct. That's what, that of the three points I mentioned, one was non-negotiable responsibilities. Non-negotiable means, like, for which, you know, you are accountable for that responsibility. And if you don't do, then there will be trouble. So that keeps you focused, that, oh, if I don't do. So that will keep you focused, and that will also make you feel that I am doing a significant contribution. That sense of contribution makes a person feel, yes, I am not just eating and consuming the resources, but I am also contributing in some way for the mission. One will get that sense of contribution like that. So now, Parikshit Maharaj is going to ask further questions. Actually, he is going to ask many questions, many of which may not seem pure devotional questions. What does, these questions have to do with someone practicing pure devotional service, one might wonder. So, let's take one example, this verse he's asking. Yada dhatu mato brahman deha rambosya dhatu bihi yadrichaya hetu nava bhavanto janate yata. He says, O brahmana, please explain asya adatumatah dehah, whether the dehah, the body of the jiva, what is the nature of the jiva? Adatumatah means he is not made of matter, he has no relationship with matter. But what is the nature of deha? It is dhatubihi, It is made of all the material things. How did this relationship between the spiritual soul and the material body, how did this relationship happen? Yadrichaya hetunava. Did it happen by chance? Or is there some reason to it? Bhavanto janate yata. You know the answer for these questions. Can you please explain to me? Did this relationship between spirit soul and material body, did this relationship happen by chance? Or is there a reason to it? That is the question that he is asking here. Srila Vishwanatha Thakur, in his purport, he writes, having expressed his enthusiasm for hearing about Krishna, which is the first anga of pure bhakti that Parikshit Maharaj personally cherishes. So he is the Shravanacharya. He is the one who perfected his life through the process of Shravanam. Parikshit inquires about subjects to the extent that they may contribute to the accomplishment of the goals of pure or mixed bhakti. So if one is practicing either pure devotional service or mixed devotional service, doesn't matter, but they should perform that bhakti aspect with proper sambandhagyan, so that they don't commit any offenses towards Bhakti Devi. These questions continue till the end of the chapter. Wherever even a trace of bhakti appears, it may not be pure bhakti, it may be mishra bhakti, it should be established without aparadh. Otherwise, Bhakti Devi will not show mercy. So one of the main causes of aparadh that Bhaktivinoda Thakur also mentions in one of his books is that lack of proper sambandhagyan. So in order to properly establish that sambandhagyan, he asked these various questions. Because, and some of these questions may not be completely relevant for pure practitioners of pure devotees, but it may be useful for practitioners of mixed devotional service. So even they should understand the sambandhagyan properly so that they can continue the practice without any offenses. It is shown here that one should desire to know about examples and more examples of bhakti performed by pure devotees who are fixed in and cherish hearing and chanting about the sweetness of the Lord for the purpose of producing prema. So when people understand the sambandhagyan properly, then they get the proper inspiration to perform the proper abhideya, to attain the proper prayojan, prema. So therefore, with a desire to create the proper taste for sambandhagyan, he asked these various kinds of questions. So here, so in this first section between in the next 5 verses, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, in 5 verses he is basically going to ask the basic difference between the Jiva and the Supreme Lord. Is there a difference in the nature of the Jiva and the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? That's what he is going to ask. In different ways he is going to ask this. Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, why is Parikshit Maharaj asking these kind of questions? So Prabhupada writes, Parikshit Maharaj is not just satisfied to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from a bona fide guru, but he is also very anxious to establish the philosophical basis of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because if without proper sambandhagyan, if we hear the higher topics, then we will not be able to digest it properly. Srimad Bhagavatam is the science of the Supreme Lord, and all such inquiries that arise in the mind of a serious student must be answered. These are natural questions which may arise in the mind of a serious practitioner, and it must be answered. And Bhagavatam does answer these questions. In the process of devotional service, the first step is to take the shelter of a spiritual master and inquire. Adav Guru Padashraya. The first few limbs of devotional service are all connected to the Guru only. Adav Guru Padashraya, Vishrambena Guror Seva, Krishna Dikshadi Sikshanam, Saddharma Pritcha, Krishna Sadhu Vartmanu Vartmanam. All these first 5-6 limbs are all connected to the Guru only. First approaching a Guru and Krishna Dikshadi Sikshanam, receiving Diksha and Siksha from the Guru. Vishrambena Guror Seva, serving the Guru with lot of affection and respect. Saddharma Pritcha, inquiring about the process of bhakti from the Guru. Sadhu Vartmanu Vartmanam, and as guided by the Guru, one should follow the sadhus and shastras properly to achieve one's goal like that. That's what Prabhupada is indicating here, that in the process of devotional service, the first step is to take the shelter of a spiritual master and inquire, so that one may not commit any offenses. The spiritual master must also be well versed to answer these questions. Otherwise, one should not become a spiritual master. So it is important that one understands these subject matters. Okay, like that. Then he says, Asidyad Udarat Padmam. So in the next few, till the end of the chapter, actually Vishnu Jagadakur writes, this question is relevant for whom? So he says, oh, this question is relevant for Karma Mishra Bhaktas. Oh, the answer to this question is relevant for Jnana Mishra Bhaktas. The answer to this question is relevant for Yoga Mishra Bhaktas. Oh, the answer to this question is relevant for pure devotees. And then he says, the answer to this question is relevant for all kinds of practitioners. The answer to this question is relevant for pure devotees, but with a predominance of Aishwarya. Like that, many different questions he indicates, this question is relevant for whom? The mode of Parikshit Maharaj is, whether you are practicing pure devotional service or mixed devotional service, you need to have proper Sambandha Gyan. And without proper Sambandha Gyan, if you practice that process, then it will lead to offenses and Bhakti Devi will not bestow her mercy. So with that deep sense of compassion for all practitioners, he asks these questions in order to properly establish the proper Sambandha Gyan, like that. Asidyadudarat Padmam Loka Samstana Lakshanam Yavanayam Vai Purusha Yattavaya Vai Pritak Tavanasaviti Prokta Samsta Vayavavan Samsta Avayavanita Iva. He says, the Purusha from whose belly a lotus appears has been described as having planets as his limbs. We saw that. Who is that Purusha from whose belly the lotus appears? Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. And who is that personality who is having planets as his limbs? Huh? The Virat Purusha. The Virat Purusha, that's what we have read, right? Huh? And the Virat Purusha, we discussed that it's a direct expansion of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. Saeva Purushas Tasmad Andam Nirbidya Nirgataha, it was mentioned. Sahasror Vangri Sahasraksha Sahasranana Shirshavan, like that it was mentioned, that very same Purusha, Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, expands as this Virat Purusha who has 1,000 heads, 1,000 hands, 1,000 legs, like that. So he's mentioned that Purusha from whose belly the lotus appears, it has been described that he expands into this big Purusha. Even though different from the material human form, it is true, human beings do not have the planets as their limbs, but nevertheless they also have legs, they also have heads, they also have hands. So therefore, what is the difference between the two? These planets are also material. And the body of the living entities, they are also material. So is it just the size that is different between the Jiva and the Supreme Lord? Or is there something more fundamentally different between the Jivatma and the Supreme Lord? Prabhupada very nicely explains it in his purport. Prabhupada paraphrases Parikshit Maharaj's questions here in his purport. Prabhupada says, an elephant gets a gigantic body according to its needs. And in a similar way, an ant also gets a very small body according to its needs. Similarly, if the Supreme Lord assumes a gigantic body to accumulate the full universe, is it similar to the principle of assuming or accepting a body in terms of his own necessity? An elephant needs a big body for his needs. An ant needs a smaller body for its needs. Similarly, another Jivatma may need the universe as his whole body according to his needs. So is there something more fundamentally different, or is it the same? Like the Prabhupada is explaining, paraphrasing Parikshit Maharaj's question here. So is the Lord and the Jiva distinguished simply by the difference of the magnitude of the body? Is it just the size of the body that differentiates between Jiva and the Supreme Lord? Or is there more fundamentally different between the bodies of the Jiva and the Supreme Lord? This is the first question he is asking. In this, he is asking about Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, whose expansion is the universe. Then he says, both in one sense. The expansion of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu only is the Virat Rupa. Oh, that is the Shirodaka Sai form, Vishnu form, the Paramatma within the heart. But this is Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu form. This is different. Then he says, Ajahasrajati Bhutani Bhutatma Yadanugrahad Dadrisheyena Tadrupam Nabi Padmasamudbavaha. Yadanugrahad, by the mercy of the Lord, Brahma, who is the controller of the bodies within this universe, Nabi Padma Samudbhavaha, he arose from the lotus which emerged from the navel of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. And he saw that form. So indirectly is describing the stem of the lotus is like the umbilical cord connecting Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu and Brahma. So he says, look, generally cat gives birth to a kitten, tiger gives birth to a tiger cub, cow gives birth to a calf, human being gives rise to a human being. Okay, Brahmaji is an ordinary jiva and he is taking birth from the navel of Vishnu. So both must be same species only, right? That is the question he is asking. So if Brahmaji is born from the navel of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, then fundamentally both must be similar species only. Not that Parikshit Maharaj does not know the answer for this. He is asking for the benefit, welfare of everyone. So, Srila Prabhupada here writes, whether the form seen by Brahma is of the same quality as that of Brahma is a bewildering question, and Maharaj Parikshit wanted to get clear answers from Srila Sukadeva Goswami. Is the same different? I don't know. Can you please explain like that? Sachapi yatra purusho vishvastityudbhavapyayah muktvatma mayam mayesha Shete sarva guha shayah. He says, my dear Shukadeva Goswami, please describe yatra saha purushah, where this particular purusha, which purusha? Vishwastiti udbhava apyayah. Who is the source of creation, maintenance and destruction of the material university, material universe? He says, Mayeshah, and the Lord of Maya. Where does he lie? Srila Vishnu Jagadakur writes, just like living entities, when they become tired, they also lie down and sleep. Similarly, this personality, Karanodaka Sai Vishnu, also seems to lie down and sleep. So which means, he also seems to have similar activities as the living entities. So qualitatively, is there any difference? And he says, what about Kshirodaka Sai Vishnu? Sarva Guhashaya, who is present in everyone's heart. Muktva Atma Mayam, but he is not touched by Maya. He also lies down in the heart of all living entities or in the Kshirodaka ocean. How is he any different? Is he similar to the yogis, the perfected yogis, who also stay within this material world but are not touched by the material world? Is he one such liberated person? Or is he different? Is he a liberated jiva? Or is he a different entity completely? Like that he is asking. Then he continues. Purushavayavairlokaha sapala purvakalpitaha lokairamushyavayava sapalairiti shushruma. The planets and their protectors were previously identified with the limbs of the Purusha, and the limbs of the Purusha were identified with the planets. This I have heard. If there are more details, please explain them. He says, and what about the Virat Purusha? You explained that all these various planets were the limbs of this Virat Purusha. Is there more detail to this? Can you please explain in little more detail what is this? So we will explain this in the 10th chapter. The third description of the universal form. Is there some more details to this that you would like to reveal? Like that he is asking. So in this way he has asked about Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, Karanodaka Sai Vishnu, Kshirodaka Sai Vishnu and the Virat Purusha. About all of them he has asked, what is the nature of their body? What is the nature of their soul? Is it the same as the ordinary living entity or is it different? Like that. So all these questions indicate one pertinent question, which is how the form of the Lord is different from the form of the jiva. Srila Vishnu Jagadakur writes here, answer to these questions, verse 7 to verse 11, the answers to these questions are relevant for those practicing Shanta Bhakti or Dasya Bhakti. It nourishes their mood. But, which means, for those who have not come to that stage, answers to these questions is relevant for all of us. Because we have not reached that stage of bhava or prema, where we can identify what is the nature of our bhakti. Is it in shanta or dasya or vatsalya or madhurya or sakya, we do not know. So which means, for all sadhakas, the answer to these questions is very relevant. Yavan kalpo vikalpo va yata kalo nu miyate bhuta bhavya bhavat shabda ayur manam cha yat satah. Speak of the kalpas. So actually answer to these questions, they will be described in second and third canto in detail about the nature. Immediately you will start answering these questions. And then he is asking, Yavan kalpo vikalpova, please speak of the kalpas and their subdivisions. This will be described in the third canto, 9th chapter. third canto, 11th chapter, divisions of time. So kalpa, one kalpa, of course the word kalpa is used in different contexts, it means different things. One kalpa, it can refer to one day of Brahma, it can refer to the lifespan of Brahma also. Because the residents of Maharjana, Tapa and Satyaloka, they are called Kalpavasis. Kalpavasis means they live for the whole Kalpa. There the word Kalpa means the whole lifespan of Brahma. So, one thing we should understand very clearly is terminologies are not universal when they are used in our books. These terminologies have a very contextual usage. So one should not get stuck with the terminologies. Many times, like for example, I was sharing with Adokshaj Prabhu the other day. I will share with you also, just a few minutes, about how terminologies can be very contextual. For example, let's take the example of Kanishtadhikari, Madhyamadhikari and Uttamadhikari. Okay, we will take this example and then we will do a small exercise. Okay. So Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu talks about these Kanishtadhikari, Madhyamadhikari and Uttamadhikari. So he says Uttamadhikari means Shastre Yuktau Cha Nipuna Sarvata Dridanischaya Prouda Shraddhodhikari Yaha Sabakta Uttamomata. And Uttamadhikari, according to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu's description, is one who is expert in Shastras, in the understanding of the Shastras and its application, and is firmly determined and who has a deep faith. But that person is still not at the stage of bhava or prema. He is still a Vaidhi Bhakti Adhikari only. Because the description is Vaidhi Sadhana only. Within Vaidhi Sadhana there are three Adhikaris. One is the Uttam Adhikari. And the Madhyam Adhikari, he says, yes shastradishu anipuna shraddhavan satu madhyama. He may not be that much of an expert in the Shastras, but shraddhavan, he has shraddha, which means his faith cannot be shaken, even though sometimes he may not be able to substantiate his understanding based on various Shastric connections like that. And then he says about Kanishtadhikari, Yo bhavet komala shraddha sa kanishto nigadyate. One who has very weak faith because of still weaker understanding of scriptures and faith in scriptures, he is called a Kanishtadhikari. So if you see, according to this understanding of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Kanishtadhikari, Madhyamadhikari and Uttamadhikari, all three are within Vaidhi Sadhana only. Okay. So, but if you see the nectar of instruction, it also in the fifth verse, he speaks about three classes of people. Krishneti yasya giritam manasadriyeta dikshasti chet pranatibischa bhajantamisham Shushrushaya Bhajana Vigyam Ananya Manya Nindadi Sunya Hridamipsita Sangalabdya. He says three categories of people. One, the Uttamadhikari is completely free of any desire to criticize anyone and he is an expert in the practice of bhajan. So such a person would be at the stage of bhava or prema. Dikshasti chet, if he has attained diksha, then he could be anywhere between anarthanivritti to asakti. He could be in any other, he could be anywhere. And krishneti yasya giritam manasadriyat, if he just chants the holy name, he need not even be kanishta adhikari, could be between shraddha to anarthanivritti somewhere. Madhyam adhikari, here the second practitioner, he could be anywhere between anarthanivritti to asakti. And the uttama adhikari is at the stage of bhava and prema. So this is a different way in which the word, in the three adhikaris are mentioned. And according to Srimad Bhagavatam, if you see, the uttama adhikari is sarvabhuteshu yappashyet bhagavat bhavam atmana bhutani bhagavati atmani esha bhagavatottama. So he is a bhagavatottama, one who sees within everything the soul of all souls, the supreme personality of God at Shri Krishna. Stavara jangama deki nadeki tara murti sarvatra hai nija ishtadeva spurti. So that person is at the stage of bhava or prema. But the madhyamadhikari, ishvare tadadineshu balisheshu dvishasucha prema maitri kripa upeksha yakkaroti samadhyama. So this description of madhyamadhikari is according to Bhagavatam. So he could be anywhere between anarthanivritti to asakti, which means the Bhagavatam's madhyamadhikari, within that explanation, anode is kanishta, madhyama, uttama, all three fit. Okay? And Bhagavatam's kanishta adhikari is not even a practitioner of pure devotional service. Archayam eva haraye, pujam ya shraddaye hate, natat bhakteshu chanyeshu, yak sabakta prakrita smrita. So that kanishta adhikari is not even within the realm of pure devotional practice. He has laukiki shraddha. He does not have shastriya shraddha at all. Whereas the kanishta adhikari of Enodi, he may have komala shraddha, very weak faith. But that weak faith is shastriya shraddha. It is not laukiki shraddha. Okay. Then Chaitanya Charitamrita also, in two places, these three kinds of adhikaris are described. One is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking to Chaitanya to Sanatana Goswami, Sanatana Siksha. This is exactly the same as Enodi. Shastre yukte sunipuna drida shraddha yara uttama adhikari sei taraye samsara. So these three descriptions are exactly according to Enodi. And then another time these three terminologies come is when the Kulinagram Vasis, when they approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and ask, Mahaprabhu, please tell us who is a Vaishnava. And he gives three different explanations to this. So basically the point is, you know, I have summarized it in this one table. Just to, you know, the classification of these three adhikaris according to various books, if you see, it's quite different. The point is, terminologies are not used in a universal way. The word pure devotee is used in many different ways. So, like for example, I will give you an example. Rupa Goswami is a pure devotee. But we are not pure devotees. Here, what is purity referring to? Okay. Now, I am just telling, here purity is referring to what? Purity of what? Huh? No. Both have pure Shraddha. Our faith is pure. What is not pure is our, we are not yet free of anarthas. So the faith is uttama shraddha, as Rupa Goswami defines, anyabilashita shunyam jnana karma dhyanavritam anukulyena krishnana shilanam bhaktir uttama. That is there. So there is purity of faith in both cases, but in Rupa Goswami's case, anya anartha shunyam also. The swabhava is also completely cleansed. And he has generated spiritual emotions for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in the case of sadhakas, the swabhava is infested with anarthas. Anartha nivritti is not complete. And artha pravritti is also not complete. Okay? But the shraddha is clean. Unless anartha nivritti happens, artha pravritti cannot happen. Because when anartha nivritti is complete, then our heart becomes the sandini potency. It becomes the place where the Supreme Lord Samvit and Hladini Shakti can manifest. So, when we say Rupa Goswami is a pure devotee, but we are not, there the purity refers to purity of our antakkarana, heart. It does not refer to purity of Shraddha. Another sense in which this word pure devotee may be used is, oh, Narada Muni was a pure devotee, but the four Kumaras are not pure devotees. Here purity refers to what? What is impure in the four Kumaras? And what is pure in Narada Muni? Okay, knowledge of the Lord. In Narada Muni, the Shraddha is pure. He has pure devotional faith. In the four Kumaras, they have Jnana Mishra Bhakti, mixed devotional faith. So there the purity refers to purity of Shraddha. Okay. Sometimes we may say, oh, Shridama and Subal, they are pure devotees. Arjuna, he is not a pure devotee. In Chaitanya Charitamrit, such a comparison is also made. Their purity refers to what? I'll give you an example. He says, Shuddha sakye kare skande arohan, tumi kona bada loka tumi ami sama. Shaka shuddha sakye kare skande arohan, tumi kona bada loka tumi ami sama. So the Krishna's friends in Vrindavan, like Subal and Shridama, they climb on Krishna's shoulders and they say, tumi kona bada loka, you think you are bigger than us? Tumi ami sama, we both are equal. And that is called Shuddha Sakya Ras. Which means, is there some Ashuddha Sakya Ras? Rasa itself means it's pure. But here, purity refers to no mixing of Aishwarya. Complete sweetness, Vrajabhav. So sometimes they say that the rasa of Vrajavasis is unmixed. Which means outside Vraja, their rasas are mixed, but not mixed with matter. It's mixed with Aishwarya Gyan. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, Aishwarya Gyanete Sabha Jagata Mishrita. Aishwarya? Aishwarya Shitila Prema Nahe Mora Prita. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Aishwarya Shitila Prema Nahe Mora Prita. I don't like that Prema. This is not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is Krishna in Vrindavan. He is speaking that Aishwarya Gyanete Sabha Jagata Mishrita. All kinds of pure devotional practices in this world are generally mixed with some Aishwarya Gyan. Aishwarya Shitila Gyana, Aishwarya Shitila Bhakti Nahe Mora Prita. That Prema which has become weakened because of that Aishwarya Gyan, it's not very dear to me. Like that Krishna in Vrindavan, he is telling. Okay, So we are talking about, so Chaitanya Charitamrita is giving us a paddhati to attain Krishna and Vrindavan. So when that is the standard, any non-vraja bhav, even though it may be pure prema, is also considered mixed. So the point is, the word pure devotee is very contextual. It is, these are not universal usages. Someone may ask, you think you are a pure devotee? Then she said, Prabhuji, according to which definition? That's what we said. According to which definition? Because sometimes people may say, oh, you think you are a pure devotee? And we may say, oh, no, Prabhuji, I am not. So then, you think you can practice only pure devotion and achieve success? Oh, in that sense, no, Prabhuji, I am a pure devotee only. Because if you say that you are not a pure devotee, and they think that, oh, I am a mixed devotee. So then, in that sense, then we can't just practice pure devotional practices and achieve perfection. We have to, if ours is Jnana Mishra or Karma Mishra, we have to practice that Jnana and Karma also. You understand? So if they are asking, are you a pure devotee in the sense of comparison between Narada Muni and four Kumaras, then we are in the group of Narada Muni only. But if you are asking me, you think you are a pure devotee in terms of comparison between Rupa Goswami or Prabhupada and ourselves, then we are in a sadhaka's role only. Yes, I am not a pure devotee in that sense. If someone is asking me, you think you are a pure devotee in the sense of comparison between Sridhama and Arjuna, then our answer is, I don't know yet. When I reach that stage, I will know. But as of now, I am aspiring for maybe following in the footsteps of the Vrajavasis, but I do not know. So therefore, the question is same, but depending on the context, the answer may be different. So we have to understand the context. These are all contextual usages. They don't have a universal utility like that. The word transcendental also is different. It need not, sometimes it may mean spiritual. In some cases it may not mean spiritual also. Sometimes the word transcendental may refer to transcendental to the three modes. Sometimes the word transcendental may refer to transcendental to the two modes. Sometimes the word transcendental may refer to transcendental to a particular situation. So therefore, these do not have universal utilities. They have very contextual utility. So we have to understand the context. So therefore, books like Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu are very important because they give clear-cut definitions. When we are talking about a subject matter, we should have a common understanding of the definition. Like for example, I was having a discussion with our Sankarshan Prabhu the other day about Varnashram. So wait, before we have any discussion, we have to have a common understanding of what do you mean by Varnashram. That has to be defined clearly. Otherwise, he will say something, I will say something, which may seem contradictory, but he has his own understanding of Varnashram and I have my own understanding of Varnashram. Then everything will seem contradictory only. So if you don't have a common definition, we can't have an intelligent discussion at all. So therefore, books like Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, they have very clear-cut definitions. This is what? Oh, this is the meaning of Bhava Bhakti. This is the meaning of Rasa. This is the meaning of Sadhana. This is the meaning of Vaidhi Sadhana. This is the meaning of Raganuga Sadhana. Very clear-cut definition. When you understand, then we can have an intelligent discussion. But if there is no common understanding of terminologies, then it becomes very difficult. So therefore, it is not wrong to ask, you know, clarification of the terminology. Prabhuji, what do you mean by this word? Can you please explain so that I can understand why you are asking this question like that. So this whole discussion started because of this kalpa and vikalpa. So yata kalo anumiyate, how time is perceived in the past, present and future. How is it perceived in Kali Yuga? How is it perceived in Satya Yuga? How is it perceived in the other yugas? And how is time perceived by the Pitrus? How is time perceived by the Devatas? How is time perceived by the residents of Mahar, Jana, Tapa, Satya Lokas? How do they perceive time? So this relative perception of time, can you please speak about this? Like that, here he is asking, and so here actually to understand the nature of time is very important for devotees also. Mother Devahuti, she asked to Kapila, even after understanding that pure devotional service is the topmost process, she asked three questions to Kapiladev. Can you please speak about this process of bhakti in more detail? Because she wants to follow it. And then two more questions she asks. She asks, can you please speak about the nature of time? Then she asks, can you please speak about the nature of karma? What action you perform, what reaction you get? Can you please explain? The acharyas explain why she is asking these two questions. They say, when you learn about the nature of time, how it is relentless, it does not wait for anyone, one gets the inspiration to follow the process with a sense of urgency. I want to follow, you know, like Prabhupada always had this sense of urgency. Do it, like that. And when one hears about the nature of karma, then one gets a sense of detachment from this material world. A brahma bhavana loka punaravartino arjuna. Any kind of karma that I perform to stay within this material world, I will have to suffer again birth, death, old age and disease. So I should, when one hears about the nature of what activity elevates one to a particular planet or what activity demotes one to a lower planetary system, when one hears this, then one develops detachment from endeavoring to be in this material world. Tasyaiva hetoho prayateta kovido nalabhyate yad brahmatam upariyadaha tallabhyate dukkavadanyavat sukam kalena sarvatra gabira ramhasa. Like that. So therefore, Parikshit Maharaj will also ask, please speak about the nature of time, so that I can practice bhakti with a sense of urgency. Please speak about the nature of karma, so that I develop detachment from this material world. Like that. So in this way, the nature of time is relevant for all kinds of practitioners, because they all have to understand the relentless nature of time, so that they can perform their practices with a sense of urgency. Like that. Kalasyanugatiryato lakshaten vibrahatyapi yavatyah karmagatayo yadrishir dvijasattama. Same two questions he is asking here, as Mother Devahuti asked. O Brahmana, speak about the progress of time with large and small divisions and the number and types of destinations achieved by karma. What person, by performing what karma, achieves what destination? So he is asking about this. He wants to know. So here Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes that these two questions are suitable for pure devotional service in order to become indifferent to all types of karma. One should not get attached to the process of karma or jnana or yoga, because ultimately one has to perform jnana karma dhyanavrita bhakti. So unless you know that no, this is a limb of karma, this is not a limb of bhakti. This is a limb of jnana, this is not a limb of bhakti. Oh, this is a limb of yoga, this is not a limb of bhakti, then how can one practice jnana karma dhyanavrita bhakti? So therefore, he is asking like that. Then, yasmin karma samavayo yata yeno pagrihyate gunanam guninam chaiva parinamam abhipsatam. Speak about the bodies desired by the jivas, in which topic you should explain which jiva by which actions receives various results. What activities, what sadhana leads to what result? Please speak about it in detail. Like karma mishra bhakti or karma yoga leads to swarga if it is sakama. Karma yoga leads to purification of heart if it is nishkama. Jnana yoga leads to impersonal liberation when perfected. Ashtanga yoga also leads to impersonal liberation when perfected. One could also practice Ashtanga yoga for achieving some siddhis. Then in that case, that's what they will get. The result of karma mishra bhakti is salokya mukti in Vaikuntha. The result of jnana mishra bhakti and yoga mishra bhakti is shantarati in Vaikuntha. And the result of practice of pure devotional service is a relationship with Krishna in one of the five rasas in either Vaikuntha or Goloka, depending on our practice. If it is Vaidhi sadhana, very likely we may go to Vaikuntha. If it is Raganuga sadhana, then one may go to Goloka, like that. So in this sense, he is indicating that what jivas by performing what actions achieve what destinations. Please describe this in detail. Of course, this will also be described throughout the rest of Bhagavatam, especially in teachings of Lord Kapila, in Uddhava Gita. In these sections, it will be described in great detail, these subject matters. So here Srila Vishnu Jagadakur writes, speak of the activities of sin and piety, about the activities of yoga, jnana and bhakti, which are transformation of the gunas. And speak of the particular actions that should be performed by the particular jiva for receiving that particular body. This question is suitable for karma mishra, jnana mishra, yoga mishra bhaktas and also pure devotees. All of them should know what, by what activity they will attain their destination. Which means, basically he is asking about the sadhana of karma mishra bhakti, sadhana of yoga mishra bhakti, sadhana of jnana mishra bhakti, sadhana of shuddha bhakti, all of these. And what is the prayojan of all these things, like that. Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, the actions and reactions of all works in the material modes of nature, either in the minute form or in the gigantic form, are accumulated, and thus the result of such accumulated actions and reactions of karma or work become manifested in the same proportion. So he is talking about law of karma. How such actions and reactions take place, what the different procedures are, and in what proportion they act, are all subject matters of Maharaj Parikshit's inquiries from the great Brahmana Sukadeva Goswami. Life in the higher planets, known as the abodes of the denizens of heaven, is obtained not by the strength of spacecraft, as is now being contemplated by the inexperienced scientists. It seems relevant today also. But by works done in the mode of goodness. One cannot go there just on the strength of their piety, strength of their, you know, whatever desire. I want to go to moon, I can go. It's not like that. Even on the very planet where we are now living, there are restrictions upon the entrance of foreigners into a country where the citizens are more prosperous, or any country for that matter, even if they are not prosperous. Like our Prem Ras Prabhu and Narad Prabhu had to go to Mathura because you had some immigration formalities to be fulfilled, like that. The reason is that, for example, the American government has many restrictions for the entrance of foreigners from less prosperous countries. The reason is that the Americans do not wish to share their prosperity with any foreigner who has not qualified himself as a citizen of America. Similarly, the same mentality is prevailing in every other planet where there are more intelligent living beings residing. The higher planetary living conditions are all in mode of goodness, and anyone desiring to enter the higher planets like the Moon, Sun and Venus must qualify thoroughly by the activity in complete goodness. Otherwise, it's not possible. Maharaj Parikshit's inquiries are on the basis of proportionate actions of goodness which qualify one in this planet to be promoted to highest regions of the universe. Like for example, in the fourth canto, Rudragita, Lord Shiva teaches to the Prachetas, he says, Swadharma nishta shatajanma bippuman virinchitameti tatap param himam avyakritam bhagavatota vaishnavam padam yataham vibhuda kalatyaye. So he says, Swadharma nishta shatajanma bippuman virinchitameti. If a person perfectly practices his varnashram duties for 100 lifespans, he can attain Brahma Loka. Not only that, he can become Brahma. Virinchitameti tatap param himam. And Lord Shiva says, if one is even more pious, he can come to my abode, Kailash. But he says, the spiritual world is not like that. Avyakritam bhagavatota vaishnavam padam yataham vibhuda kalate. But the spiritual world is transcendental to all these kinds of material piety. And even we demigods like Brahmaji and Lord Shiva, we desire to go to that spiritual world, like that Lord Shiva mentions. Bhupatalaka kubhyoma graha nakshatra bhubhritam sarit samudra dvipanam sambhavas cheta dokasam. Please speak also about the creation of earth, patal loka, the directions, the sky, the planets, constellations, mountains, rivers, oceans and islands, the creation of the various inhabitants and what jivas attain those places. This is described in the third canto. And also in the fifth canto also it is described in Vedic cosmology section. And to some extent in Uddhav Gita also it is. Uddhav Gita is such a comprehensive section. Practically everything, whatever is described in the whole of Bhagavatam is at least in summary described in Uddhav Gita. So therefore, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told his Gaudiamath Brahmacharis, that Brahmachari should many times study some sections of Bhagavatam. In that he mentions about Kapila Dev's teachings to Mother Devahuti, Kapila's Sankhya, Uddhava's teachings to Krishna, Uddhava Gita, and one more section he says. Some 2-3 sections he mentions, that these are very important sections. Again and again one should read and understand them very clearly. I know one very wonderful devotee. For the last 30 years or so, he has been studying Bhagavatam very regularly, scrutinizingly. And he has a very interesting way of studying Bhagavatam. He has studied Bhagavatam like that many times. So he would read first canto, then he would read 11th canto once. Then he would read second canto, then he would read 11th canto once. Then he would read third canto, then you would read 11th canto once. Then you would read 4th canto. Then you would read 11th canto once. Like that, after every canto, you would read 11th canto once. Like that, he has completed Bhagavatam many times. Because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur himself personally emphasized Uddhava Gita section, 11th canto, two very beautiful conversations, one between the Navayogendras and Nimi Maharaj, another between Krishna and Uddhava. Very important discussions. It's like a summary of whole Bhagavatam in one canto actually. Practically everything is discussed there. So then here Srila Vishnachara Thakur writes that it's Vamshi Vihari Prabhu, you know Vamshi Vihari Prabhu, his cousin brother. He's quite elder to Vamshi Vihari Prabhu, but his cousin brother is the devotee. A very, very wonderful devotee. I have only heard about him. I have not met him. I'll be very happy to meet him one day. But I have heard a lot about him. He says that this is suitable for all devotees. This question is suitable for all devotees. Everyone should know this. Like that Vishnachakita Thakur mentions here. Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, by the laws of the Lord, no place is vacant. But the creatures of one particular place are different from those of other places. Even in human society, the inhabitants of the jungles or the deserts are different from those of cities and villages. They are so made according to different qualities of the modes of nature. Such adjustment by the laws of nature is not blind. It's not blind. There is a great plan behind the arrangement. Maharaj Parikshit requests the great sage Sukadeva Goswami to explain all these things authoritatively in accordance with proper understanding. On what basis they are separated? What is the basis of putting some living entities here, some living entities there? Please explain. Pramanam mandakoshasya bahyabhyantara vedatah mahatam chanu charitam varnashrama vinischayah. Pramanam mandakoshasya. Please speak about the dimensions of universe. Bahya abhyantara vedatah, outside and inside. Inside 500 billion yojanas, and outside it has 8 layers, each 10 times thicker than the previous layer, like that. Mahatam cha anucharitam, the activities of the great souls. Of course, throughout Bhagavatam this is described. And Pramanam, dimensions of the universe, is described in third canto. Varnashrama vinishchayah. And what is the definition of Varnashram? Seventh canto, this is described in detail. 11th canto, Uddhava Gita. Of course, for everything 11th canto, Uddhava Gita, you can say it is described in 11th canto. Here, Srila Vishnachara Thakur mentions, the question about the dimension of the universe is for bhakti mixed with Aishwarya, which means at this stage it's relevant for us also. And question about Varnashram, he says it's for Karma Mishra Bhaktas. It's for mixed devotees, he says. Yugani yugamanam cha dharmo yascha yuge yuge avataranu charitam yadascharyatamam harehe. He says, Yugani, please describe about the various yugas. Yuga manam cha, what is the duration of these yugas? Third canto, this will be described. Dharmo yascha yuge yuge, what are the dharmas of various yuga? 11th canto, the discussion between Nimi Maharaj and Navayogendras, this will be described. Harehe ascharyatamam avatara anucharitam. And also please describe about the activities of the yuga avataras of the Lord. And also what dharma they institute in those different yugas. Please speak about that. So this will be described in the 11th canto. Okay, I'm sorry. There is a nice purport by Prabhupada for the previous verse. We will just discuss it. Where he is asking about the dimension of the universe, activities of the great souls and Varnashram. So Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, those who are of the opinion that the devotees of the Lord are satisfied with mere sentiments can find in the inquiries of Maharaj Parikshit good lessons as to how inquisitive a pure devotee is to know things in their true perfection. So Prabhupada says, bhakti is not sentimental. One should not think that a desire to understand the proper siddhanta is jnana prayas. A desire to understand the proper siddhanta is not jnana prayas. It is a very important aspect of pure devotional service. In fact, it's a non-negotiable aspect of pure devotional service. Saddharma pricha. It is one of the beginning stages of bhakti, actually. That's what Prabhupada is mentioning here. Those who are of the opinion that devotees are of the Lord are satisfied with mere sentiments, can find in the inquiries of Maharaj Parikshit good lessons as to how inquisitive a pure devotee is to know things in their true perfection. Srila Prabhupada further writes, Maharaj Parikshit is not satisfied with only material knowledge. He is inquisitive about the character and activities of the great souls, the devotees of the Lord. Mahatam cha anucharitam, he is asking about them. The glories of the Lord and the glories of his devotees combined together comprise the complete knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam. Glories of the Lord, glories of his devotees. Lord Krishna showed his mother the complete universal creation within his mouth, while she, completely charmed by her son, wanted to look inside the mouth of the Lord just to see how much earth the child has eaten. By the grace of the Lord, the devotees are able to see everything in the universe within the mouth of the Lord. Later in the last paragraph, Prabhupada writes about Varnashram. He says, the very idea of the scientific divisions of the four classes of human society and four orders of life is also inquired about herewith on the basis of the individual personal quality. The four divisions are exactly like the four divisions of one's personal body. The parts and parcels of the body are non-different from the body, but by themselves they are only parts. Where is Prabhupada heading here? Can you guess? What is the point that Prabhupada will do now? Can you guess? See, this is a good exercise. You should try to do this. When you start reading, read the verse nicely, read the word meanings nicely, understand the translation. And when you read the purport, when Prabhupada is speaking on a particular subject matter, before you read ahead, try to think and guess, what would Prabhupada write now? He is telling, Mukabahuru padebhya purushasya ashramaihi saha chatvaro jagnire varna gunair vipra. So he says, in the 11th canto, it is mentioned that all these various four varnas and ashramas, they form the various bodily limbs of Krishna. Just as the it is the duty of a limb to serve the whole, similarly the duties of the varnas and ashramas is to serve Krishna. So whenever varnashram is mentioned, you will see Prabhupada invariably, instead of describing about the various duties of varna and ashrama, he would come back to the duty of serving Krishna. Even in Bhagavatam, or Bhagavatam, if you see, wherever varnashram is mentioned, Atha Pumbir Dhuja Shrestha Varnashrama Vibhagasha Swanushtitasya Dharmasya Samsiddhir Haritoshanam Varnashrama Acharavata Purushena Parappuman Vishnur Aradhyate Pamta Nanyat Tattosha Karanam. And then like that, so many verses you see. Dharma Swanushtita Pumsam Vishwaksena Katasuyah Notpadayad Yadiratim Shramayevahi Kevalam. Like that. So here you see, the parts and parcels of the body are non-different from the body, but by themselves they are only parts. That is the significance of the whole scientific system of four castes and four social orders. The value of such scientific division of human society can be ascertained only in terms of the proportionate development of devotional service to the Lord. Any person employed in government service, including the president, is a part and parcel of the entire government. Everyone is a government servant, but no one is the government himself. That is the position of all living entities in the government of the Supreme Lord. No one can artificially claim the supreme position of the Lord, but everyone is meant to serve the purpose of the supreme whole. Like that. So, when it comes to Varnashram, like we saw the disc, right? The peripheral disc, the middle disc, and the inner disc, like that. So, in that disc, those who are mixed devotees, especially Karma Mishra Bhaktas or Karma Yogis, for them, two things are compulsory. One is to perform their Varnashram duties is compulsory for them. And the second is to perform devotional service is also compulsory for them. Both are compulsory. But for those within the realm of pure devotional service, for them, to practice the pure devotional limbs is compulsory. Varnashram, they may practice. Like sometimes, our understanding of Varnashram is, Prabhuji, one should engage in activities according to their nature. That in itself does not constitute Varnashram duties. That is just one small aspect of it. One will naturally engage in duties of one's nature only over a period of time. That is one's nature. So, one may say that it is a practical consideration in bhakti. Within that, even in bhakti, one may think, see, these occupations I can naturally do very nicely. So let me engage in it so that I can very quickly perform my service and rest of the time I can spend in practicing devotional service. So that is a practical consideration. There you don't call it as Varnashram. What you call it is Anukulyasya Sankalpo. What is Anukul for my practice of bhakti, I am accepting. But one's occupation, one's natural occupation, if it is pratikul to bhakti, one should not just practice it just because it is according to my nature. So the main consideration is whether it will help my bhakti or not. If a devotee is for a devotee to perform an activity, to perform a profession which is according to his nature, is favorable, but it is not absolutely compulsory. It is not mandatory. It is not mentioned in as one of the 64 limbs. But a devotee to perform limbs of devotional service, that is mandatory. So if one may choose to perform a profession of his nature, that is fine, that is good. But that is not absolutely mandatory. You can't make it compulsory. You can't say that, oh, a person cannot practice devotional service if he is not performing a profession of his choice. That is not right. It may be favorable. Even in that case, that choice of profession, you don't categorize it as Varnashram duty, but you categorize it as a limb of bhakti only. That's how Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains. He says, when devotees may sometime perform some aspects of Varnashram which are favorable to bhakti, one should understand that those activities are limbs of bhakti only and not limbs of Varnashram, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes. So therefore, one should understand that the essential aspect of Varnashram system is actually worship of the Supreme Lord. If that is not there, rest everything, even if one may perfectly follow, it is of no use. But if that is there, and if faith only in that service is there, everything else is negotiable within the Varnashram system. If faith in worshipping the Supreme Lord is absolute, Krishna Bhakti Kaile Sarva Karma Krita Hai, if one has that faith, then rest all the other considerations are negotiable considerations. Only the limbs of bhakti are non-negotiable. That is the understanding. So that's what here Prabhupada is writing here. Any person employed in government service, including the president, is a part and parcel of the entire government. Everyone is a government servant, but no one is the government itself. That is the position of all living entities in the government of the Supreme Lord. No one can artificially claim the supreme position of the Lord, but everyone is meant to serve the purpose of the supreme whole. Like that. So the whole Varnashram system is meant to inspire people to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So as we saw, first comes acceptance of scriptures. When one accepts the conclusions of the scriptures, then one will naturally worship the I will write this on the board. Acceptance of scriptural conclusions. Okay. And this leads to worship of Vishnu. Okay. And this worship of Vishnu is what qualifies a person to be within the Varnashram system. And what is one's duties, what are one's duties within this Varnashram system is defined based on where in this disc he is present. So you see in Karma Mishra Bhakti or Jnana Mishra Bhakti or Yoga Mishra Bhakti or Karma Yoga or Jnana Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga or pure devotional service. Okay, all are there within the Varnashram system because all have accepted the scriptural conclusions and all are worshipping Vishnu. But what are his duties depends on what is his nishta, what is his qualification. That defines the duties. Okay, so for all these practitioners, the duties are different actually. That is what Bhagavad Gita talks about. That is what Bhagavatam is talking about. Like that. Let's move ahead. Yugani yugamanam cha dharmo yascha yuge yuge. Oh, yeah. We have done this, but we have not done the purport. He said, please describe the various yugas, their durations, their dharmas, and the astonishing activities of the yugavataras of the Lord. What dharmas they institute in those particular yugas, yuga dharma, all of that he is asking here. So, Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, Maharaj Parikshit was not to be carried away by the sentiments of the common man to accept an incarnation of the Lord very cheaply. Instead, he wished to accept the incarnation of the Lord by symptoms mentioned in the Vedic literatures and confirmed by an acharya like Shukadeva Goswami. He didn't want to just like that accept. Like that. Nrinam sadharano dharma savisheshascha yadrishah shreninam rajarshinam cha dharma kritreshu jivatam. Please speak about sadharana dharma. Sadharana dharma means under normal circumstances, what is the duty of a person? Okay. So, under normal circumstances, what is the duty of a person? Worshipping Vishnu, devotional service. So, sadharana dharma is devotional service. As in the next chapter, we will see in the fourth chatushloki, the Supreme Lord would tell Brahma, etava deva jigyasyam tattva jigyasunatmana anvaya vyatireka abhyam yatsyat sarvatra sarvada. So, sarvatra sarvada means at all times and under all circumstances, the sadharana dharma for a person is devotional service only. Prabhupada will also write here. We'll read the purport also. Sa visheshascha yadrisha. And also please speak about the various dharmas according to birth. So what is the dharma according to birth? What is the dharma according to birth? Huh? So both of them say varnashrama dharma. Huh? But Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukritino arjuna. Sorry, what is that? Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam guna karma vibhagashah. Right? So then what is the dharma according to birth? Huh? He says worshipping Vishnu. Okay? It is actually varnashram dharma only. It is actually varnashram dharma only. Why? Whenever Prabhupada says, because if you say birth has nothing to do with the varna. Okay? Chaturvanyam mayasrishnam. It's only due to guna and karma. It is not due to varna. Now the question is, guna and karma, are they carried over from one life to another life or not? From one birth to another birth or not? They are not. What is carried over with the subtle body? The gunas and karmas are not carried over. So, if you say it is not dependent on birth, you are flatly denying the law of karma only. Right? If you say your varna is not dependent on your birth, then you are flatly denying law of karma. Because birth is according to one's karma only, right? Birth is according to guna and karma. And the four varnas is according to guna and karma. So whenever Prabhupada says the choice of varna is not according to birth, what Prabhupada means is, it is not solely according to birth. Which means, the birth indicates how you have exercised your free will in the previous lives, because of which you have got particular parents now. But having gotten a particular birth, you also have a responsibility in this life to act according to your varna, if that is your nishta. So the point is, otherwise why would Krishna says mashucha sampadam daivim abhijatosi parata, daivi sampad vimokshaya nibandaya asuri mata mashucha sampadam daivim abhijatosi pandava bharata, he says. So which chapter? Which chapter? Right. 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, oh my dear Arjuna, do not worry. You are born with divine qualities, he says. So the point is, when we say that it does not depend on birth, what we understand is, you can't claim your affiliation with a particular varna purely based on birth. What have you done in this life to call yourself a Brahmana? What have you done in this life to call yourself a Kshatriya? Yes, you might have performed certain activities in a particular way. This is the way you might have exercised your free will in your past births. But having said that, you also have a responsibility in this life to retain your varna. Huh? So, therefore, that is the meaning. So therefore here, dharma according to birth is actually varnashram dharma only. Okay. Shreninam rajarshinam cha. And he says, please speak about the dharma of the vaishyas, dharma of the kings. Dharma krichreshu jivatam. And what is tatkal dharma? What is to be performed when one's normal varnashram dharma cannot be performed? All this is described in detail in the conversation between Narada Muni and King Yudhishthira Maharaj in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Last 5 chapters. Discussion about Varnashram is there in great detail. Also in the 11th canto. So, in Krishna's teachings to Uddhava, I think somewhere in the 21st chapter or something like that, it's there. Or even before that, I think. So, here, question? Yeah, can you pass the mic to Jitendra Prabhu? We have 25 more minutes to complete. Okay.
A particular varna, like according to his birth, so it shows that it is his previous practice that he has got birth in a particular varna or varna. So he is not now bound to that varna. He can uplift. He can practice like if he is born in a Shudra family, he can practice Brahmanical activities.
Is that what it means? One thing is. It is, if you want to make a banana cake, let's say, and already if it is half baked banana cake, and now you decide I want to make it into an apple cake. So not that it is impossible, but then it will be very difficult in one sense, because all the past samskaras, you know, are supporting a particular varna. So you want to wipe out all those other samskaras and you know, change it into a different varna. It's little difficult, not impossible. Of course, Vishwamitra Muni did it, but we all know what he had to go through to do that. But by practice of bhakti, it is possible. Shwadopi sadhyah savanaya kalpate. So, even a dog eater can immediately become qualified to perform fire sacrifices. Mother Devahuti says, but Srila Vishnajagat Thakur in his commentary, he says that does not mean, what it means is, he must be respected. He must be given the same respect that a brahmana deserves and more. But he cannot immediately perform the fire sacrifice, because all that shishtachar that must have been needed, all the training which one can acquire only at a very young age, he has not received. So therefore he says that generally a person who has received, practiced yan namadeya shravananu kirtanat, if he has with pure faith, with pure devotional faith, chanted or heard the holy name or the holy pastimes, generally he would not want to become either a brahmana or a vaishya or a shudra or this thing. He would want to become a devotee.
In Varaha Purana or some other Purana, I forget it. Once I heard ki the Brahmana, the Rakshas will take shelter of Brahmana families to destroy the Dharma. So according to the Sanskar, if they are burning in the Brahmana family, so how these Rakshas are coming in Brahmana family? Yeah, this is for Kali Yuga.
This is not
for Kali Yuga.
I don't think it is completely generic that whichever a person is born in a Brahmana family, he is actually a Rakshasa. That's not what it means. Then that would be ridiculous, actually, to have everything is chaotic, that, you know, all Rakshasas are born in Brahman family. Not in that sense. Maybe some Rakshasas do take birth in Brahmana family to destroy Dharma, but it is not a generic case. So, which means practically no law of karma is followed in the age of Kali Yuga at all. You know, I don't quite agree with that. Now, we have to understand, you know, what exactly, how the, what is the context of that verse, how the acharyas have explained that verse, we have to see. As Jiva Goswami writes in his commentary in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he says, Purva apara anurodena konvarto abhimato bhavet iti adyam ohanam tarka shushka tarkam tu varjayet. He says, what is the kind of logic that one should use in understanding scriptures? He says, Purva apara anurodena konvarto abhimato bhavet. Whatever verse you take, you should try to understand what was spoken before it, what was spoken after it, who spoke it, to whom, under what context, to establish what point, is it to be understood in a metaphorical sense, is it to be understood in a literal sense, all those things one should understand. Iti adya mohanam tarka. Using this kind of logic to understand is the right kind of tarka that should be used in understanding the literatures. Shushka tarkam tu varjayet. Shushka tarkam means taking one verse and trying to evaluate that verse completely, not following the generic principles and laws. If a particular verse is seeming to contradict the general practice of the general laws, then that verse certainly needs to be examined much more scrutinizingly to understand the context very clearly. Soham and things like that.
So in our mind the doubt is coming because Srila Prabhupada so many times gave example ki doctor's son is not doctor's, he has to be qualified into doctor.
But having said that, he became a doctor's son because he was, at least in his previous life, had similar inclinations. In this life, because of bad association, he developed different inclinations, or different association developed different inclinations. But the fact that he took birth in a doctor's family is not by chance. That is the point. So this is true with all, you know, Prapya Punya Kritam Lokan Ushitva Shashwati Sama Shuchinam Srimatam Grehe Yoga Brashto Bijayate. So for any practitioners, their prior practice, their future birth is decided based on their prior practices. So by flatly denying it, birth has no role. It is flatly denying the role of karma. So therefore, or the law of karma. So therefore, whenever Prabhupada says, or the acharyas say that it does not depend on, so it's like telling someone, don't think that just by getting into IIT you will get a good job. So which means, that does not mean getting into an IIT is by chance. Someone has done something seriously good to get into IIT, but having gotten into IIT, he has to study also, no? Like, if you ask, you know, many people, after they have worked so hard to get into IIT, after getting into IIT they become so relaxed, and they eventually end up taking, like, instead of 4 years to complete their course, some people take 7 years, 8 years, 10 years, and still don't complete the course actually. Like that. But to get into IIT they have done something meritorious. You can't say that they got into IIT by chance. Like that.
Of course, Prabhupada, in Manu Samhita also it is mentioned that, like, birth is also is a factor to determine.
It's a factor, yeah.
But my question is, Prabhupada, what about Kali Yuga? Because it is said in Shastra that everyone is Sudra by birth. So, because no one is following Brahminical culture, no one is following, so those people who are taking birth in Brahmanist family, so can we say that due to their previous karma they have taken birth in a Brahmanist family?
What,
because
basis
they are not
they
practicing
taking,
Brahminical culture.
They may not practice, that is misuse of their particular, of their current birth. But having said that, definitely there is a reason why they have taken birth of those in that particular family, or is it by chance?
But everyone is Sudra by birth. How will you explain this in Kali Yuga?
That is not only for Kali Yuga. Janmana jayate Shudra samskarat bhavet dvija. This holds good for all the four Yugas. This is not just for Kali Yuga. But Kalau Shudra Sambhava, it is there generally. That is a general proposition, but this is not a universal proposition. It is a generic, prayena. Yeah, it is general. In general, it is true, but having said that, it is not universal. So the point is, birth does play a role. Birth is actually indicative of how a person has exercised his free will in his previous lives. Having said that, he has a responsibility in this life also. That is the point. Okay. Okay. So now here, and of course, apad dharma or tatkal dharma, also in great detail, Narada Muni describes to Kapila, to Yudhishthira Maharaj in the 7th canto. He says that if a brahmana is not able to perform his occupation of patan patan, yajan yajan, dana pratigraha, what are the other occupations that he can perform under emergency situation? And what are the different activities which he cannot perform even under emergency situation? Like that in great detail. And similarly for a kshatriya or for a vaishya or for a shudra, like that he explains. So here, Srila Prabhupada writes, Sadharana Dharma is devotional service. All including, you know, Kirata, Honandra, Pulinda, Pulkasha, Abira, Shumba, Yavanahaka, Sadhana. All human beings can perform this Dharma. Religious affiliation in terms of country and culture is not Sadharana Dharma. Being Hindu or Muslim or Christian, that is not Sadharana Dharma. Varnashram rules also depend on devotional service. Also, devotees will never be put into difficulty. Therefore, there is no question of apad dharma to them. So, devotees need not think, I am not able to perform my occupational duty. So, what other occupation I can perform? No. Because for the devotees, the occupational duty is devotional service. And yatsyat sarvatra sarvada, at any time one can, under any circumstance, one can perform devotional service. One may not be able to perform particular limbs of devotional service, but some limbs they can always perform. Kirtanam they can always do, or smaranam they can always do. Huh? Shravanam, if two people are there, they can do. Like that. So Srila Vishnu Jagadakur writes that this question is suitable for all types of bhakti. Pure bhakti and mixed bhakti, like that. Tattvanam parisankhyanam lakshanam hetu lakshanam purusharadana vidir yogasya adhyatmikasya cha. Tattvanam parisankhyanam, please enumerate the elements and describe their principal qualities as well as their effects. This will be described in 3rd canto, 26th chapter, and also in 11th canto. Describe the rules for worshipping the Purushavataras, of course, 2nd canto, 3rd canto and all. Describe their activities and rules for Ashtanga Yoga mixed with Bhakti. 3rd canto, 28th chapter, this will be described, and also in 11th canto. Like that. Then, Yogeshwaraishwaryagatir Linga Bangastu Yoginam Vedopaveda Dharmanam Itihasa Purana Yoho. Please speak about the position of power achieved by great devotees, about the destruction of the subtle bodies of the yogis, and about the conclusion of the Vedas, Upavedas, Itihasas and Puranas. So he says that please speak about Yogeshwara Aishwarya Gatir and Linga Bangastu Yoginam, how the yogis give up their subtle body and achieve liberation. So these subject matters, Vishnu Chagadakur writes, they are suitable for those practicing Shanta Bhakti. Which means at our stage, we also need to know, because we do not know what is our Bhakti. and Veda Upaveda Dharmanam Itihasa Puranayoho. What is the conclusion of the Vedas, Puranas, Itihasas, etc.? He said this is suitable for all types of devotional service. And Prabhupada commenting on Yoga, Yogeshwara Aishwarya Gati. The Yogeshwara Aishwarya Gati, Prabhupada takes this and he says that actually devotees are more powerful than the yogis. And he gives the example of Durvasa Muni and Ambarish Maharaj and Draupadi and Dushasan. Even though from a Varnashram point of view, one was a yogi and a Brahmana, another was a Kshatriya and not a yogi. And in the case of Draupadi, Dushasan was a male and a powerful warrior, and Draupadi was a female but a great devotee. So still, so he says that the position and power of a devotee is much higher than any other person in this whole system, like that he explains. Therefore, devotees are also Yogeshwaras by the unlimited power of the Lord, just as the child is powerful by the strength of the parents, like that. Samplavas sarva bhutanam vikarma pratisankramaha ishtapurtasya kamyanam trivargasya cha yo vidhihi. Please describe the deliverance from samsara. This is again throughout Bhagavatam, but in great detail in 11th canto. What is favorable and unfavorable for bhakti? Vikrama pratisankramaha. Of course, throughout Bhagavatam this is described. And the rules for Vedic smartha and kamya activities. And as well as for artha, dharma and kama. So he's asking these questions also. So these are all kamya karmas. So here Srila Vishwanatha Thakur writes that these are questions suitable for karma mishra bhakti. Especially the last two lines. Ishta purtasya kamyanam trivargasya cha yo vidhi. Dharma artha kama. Please describe in detail. Like that. And Prabhupada in the purport, he talks about, in the first paragraph he describes how the real crossing of this material universe is possible only for the devotees. Like that he says. He describes. And also he says later about Vikrama Pratisankramaha, about the favorable and unfavorable items for bhakti. He says one should learn bhakti's anukul and pratikul items from the spiritual master. He says few things he quotes. What are favorable and unfavorable for bhakti? Balana kaivo and ara balana peribo, like that. And then earn honestly only to keep the body and soul together. There should be no prajalpa. One should glorify Krishna's creation. One should preach. Don't get disheartened if success in preaching doesn't come. Don't associate with atheists. One should not merely be ritualistic, but one should take proper guidance from the spiritual master. Like that, various aspects. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, for the six limbs of Sharanagati, he has written many bhajans for each one of those limbs. In Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu Bhajana Anukul, Bhakata Seva Parama Siddhi Prema Latikara Mula. In that bhajan he very nicely discusses what are the things which are very favorable for Krishna service. Gaura Amar Jesabastane Korala Brahmana Range Sesabastana Heri Bhavami Pranayi Bhakata Sange. Jedina Grihe Bhajana Deki Grihete Goloka Bhai. Charana Sidhu Dekiya Ganga Sukana Sima Pai. Like that very whole bhajan he very beautifully explains what are the items which are very favorable for devotional service. Similarly, he has also written bhajans for about those which are unfavorable for devotional service also, like that. So one should be eager to understand what are the things. So therefore Prabhupada writes, bhakti is not ritualistic. one should be eager to understand these items which are favorable and unfavorable for bhakti. Therefore, one should accept a spiritual master like that. Yo vanushayi nam sarga paashandasya cha sambhavah atmano bandha mokshau cha vyavasthanam swarupatah. Please describe the appearance of the jivas who are merged in the Lord at devastation. Now, what happens to the jivas after devastation? They merge into the Supreme Lord. What happens to them? This is described in the third canto and also in the 12th canto. And the creation of the imposters, paashandasya cha sambhava. In fourth canto, in the episode of Prithumaraj and Indra, when Indra steals the horse, 100th sacrificial horse, many times, many paashandis are created. Like that. Describe bondage and liberation of the conditioned souls. Atmano bandha mokshocha. Of course, throughout Bhagavatam, the third canto it is there. Fifth canto also it is there. 11th canto also it is there, like that. Swarupataha vyavasthanam, and the condition of the eternally liberated jivas, of course, throughout Bhagavatam this is described. So Srila Vishnu Jagadagur says, question about the creation of jivas is for pure devotional sadhakas. Question about the paashandis concerns those without bhakti. Question about bondage and liberation of jivas is for Jnana Mishra Bhaktas and Bhakti Mishra Jnanis. And about the condition of the eternally liberated jivas, it talks about bhakti practiced by Nitya Siddhas. Like that he explains. Finally, last question he is asking. Yatatma Tantro Bhagavan Vikridatyatma Mayaya Visarjavayata Mayam Udaste Sakshivad Vibhu. Describe how the supremely independent Krishna, Atma Tantra Bhagavan, Atma Tantra Swatantra, all means independent. Okay? And he says, Vikridati, he carries out pastimes, Atma Mayaya, using his Yogamaya potency. Visrajyava yatamayam, and after creating special pastimes of disappearance, Udaste Sakshivad. He is asking Sukadeva Goswami, my dear Sukadeva Goswami, please explain. Whenever Krishna performs pastimes, it seems like he is very much attached to the other participants in the pastime. Whenever he winds up the pastime, it seems like he is totally detached. He has nothing to do with them. So how do we understand? Can you please explain? Of course, this is also explained in detail in many, many places in Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that inquisitiveness is very important for a student. If one is not inquisitive, one need not approach a spiritual master. If one does not have any questions to ask a spiritual master, he does not need a spiritual master, like that. Then he continues, Sarvam metaccha bhagavan prachato menu purvashah tatvator hasi udahartum prapannaya mahamune. O mahamune, O great sage, O Lord, tatvato udahartum arhasi. You should truthfully declare to me etat sarvam, all of this. Cha, and even what I have not asked also you should speak about that. Me anupurvashah, in sequence. So here Vishnu Jagadagur clarifies, in sequence means not in the sequence in which the questions have been answered, but in the sequence of themes. Thematically, he is going to answer. Prapannaya, you should answer these questions because I have asked these questions to you in a mood of great surrender. So therefore, you should please answer these questions like that. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, the spiritual master is always prepared to impart knowledge to the disciple, and specifically when the disciple is very inquisitive. Inquisitiveness on the part of a disciple is greatly necessary for the progressive disciple. Maharaj Parikshit is a typical disciple because he is perfectly inquisitive. If one is not very inquisitive about self-realization, one need not approach a spiritual master simply to make a show of discipleship. Not only is Maharaj Parikshit inquisitive concerning all he has inquired about, but he is also anxious to know about what he has not been able to inquire. Factually, it is not possible for a man to inquire about everything from the spiritual master, but the bona fide spiritual master is able to enlighten the disciple in every way for the disciple's benefit. Then he says, Atra pramanam hi bhavan parameshtiyatatma bohu aparechanu tishtanti purvesham purvajair kritam. Shukadeva Goswami may ask, why do you think I am qualified? Why not ask others, Narada Muni and not Narada Muni, why not ask the other sages? He says that Atra pramanam hi bhavan atma bohu parameshtiyata. Amongst all the sages, you are the authority just like Brahmaji. Apare purvesham anutishtanti purvajaikritam, whereas others blindly follow their previous practitioners. Without, here it means not parampara, not coming in parampara. Like that. So Srila Prabhupada writes, why didn't Parikshit Maharaj consult other great sages like Kanad, Kapila, Ashtavakra, etc.? So these are all atheistic. He is not telling Narada Muni, Vyasadeva like that. Even though they were also present in that assembly. Because their knowledge was not in parampara, therefore he didn't ask them. Mind is material and therefore knowledge presented by mental speculators cannot be transcendental. Such a simple explanation Prabhupada gives. Mind is material, therefore knowledge that is presented by mental speculators cannot be transcendental. How can material mind create transcendental knowledge and understanding? He says it's not possible. Therefore Parikshit Maharaj wanted to hear only from Shukadeva Goswami, like that Prabhupada writes here. Name savaha parayanti brahman anashanadami pibato achyuta piyusham tadvakyabdi vinisritam. O brahmana, but one may say, are to answer all these questions it will take a long time. He says, don't worry. Name asavaha parayanti, my life airs are not disturbed. Life airs are disturbed when we don't get proper nourishment. Especially in Kali Yuga, the life airs are in anna, food. So therefore, he says that my life airs are not disturbed because of fasting. Why? Pibato achyuta piyusham. Because I am getting nourishment from Krishna Katha that you are speaking. Tad vakyabdi vinisritam, which is flowing down from your mouth. Therefore, please share Krishna's pastimes with me. Don't worry about my fasting because I am getting nourishment from your words. Like that he is telling. Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, Shukadeva Goswami is coming in a bona fide parampara. Therefore, Achyuta Katha from his mouth can make one transcend hunger and thirst. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj was very eager to hear that and not from other mental speculators. Only people immersed in Achyuta Katha can overcome fear of death and other such fears, not others. Like that. Suta uvacha saupamantrito rajna katayamiti satpatehe brahmarato brishamprito vishnuratena samsadi. Iti rajna vishnuratena upamantrito. Thus being requested by King Parikshit, who is Vishnurata, who was protected by Krishna within the womb of his mother Uttara. In the assembly, being requested by the king in the assembly about Krishna's pastimes, Saha Brahmarato Brishamprita. Shukadeva Goswami also got the association of Krishna when he was within the womb of his mother. So both are such exalted personalities. So he was very pleased with these questions asked by Parikshit Maharaj, and he is going to answer these questions. So Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, transcendental topics like Srimad Bhagavatam should only be discussed between the devotees. Only then real nectar can be relished. Foolish people will only misinterpret, but pure devotees, they can properly explain. Sukadeva Goswami is addressed as Brahmarath, as he was saved by the Supreme Lord within his womb. And also Parikshit Maharaj is called as Vishnurath, he was also saved. Praha Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Sammitam Brahmane Bhagavat Proktam Brahma Kalpa Upagate. He spoke the scripture called Bhagavatam, the essence of the Vedas, which was spoken by the Lord to Brahma in the first Kalpa. This will be described in the next chapter, in the Chatushloki, like that. So again, Prabhupada again and again emphasizes here. Therefore, to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, one should take shelter of a devotee in the parampara only and no one else. Like that. Finally, Suta Goswami concludes this chapter by telling, Yadyat Parikshit Drishabah Pandona Manu Pruchati Anupurvena Tat Sarvam Akyatum Upachakrame. Shukadev began to explain according to the topic all that Parikshit Maharaj, the best of the Pandavas, has asked. Srila Vishnu Jagadagur mentions here that the sequence of narration is according to the topic and not in according to the questions, like that. So thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the second canto, 8th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Questions by King Parikshit.
Krishna Hari 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 Ram Hari Ram 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 Hari.
So thank you very much for your very patient and kind listening. Even though somewhere I have just meandered and discussed so many other topics and I could not complete the 10 chapters. So kindly forgive me if I could not meet your expectations. And hope to serve you sometime in future also. Hopefully in October I am scheduled to come again for discussing some sections of third canto. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.